No father would send his children off to a distant, dangerous land for a lifetime of testing where Lucifer was known to roam free without first providing them with one, a personal power of protection, and he would also supply them with the means to communicate with him, the father, father to child, children to parent. Every child of our Father sent to earth is provided with the Spirit of Christ or the light of Christ. We are none of us left here alone without hope of guidance or redemption. The restoration began with the prayer of a 14-year-old boy and a vision of the Father and the Son. The dispensation of the fullness time was ushered in. The restoration of the gospel was brought in the knowledge of the premortal existent. From the scriptures, we know of the council in heaven and the decision to send the sons and daughters of God to mortality to receive a body and to be tested. We are the children of God. We have a spirit body housed for now in an earthly tabernacle of flesh. The scriptures say, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" As children of God, we learn we are part of his great plan of happiness. We know that there was a war in heaven, and that Lucifer and those who followed him were cast out without bodies. Satan, that old serpent, even the devil, rebelled against God and sought to take the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Wherefore he maketh war with the saints of God and encompasseth them about. We are given our agency. We must use it wisely, remain close to the Spirit. Otherwise, we foolishly find ourselves yielding to the enticements of the adversary. We know that through the atonement of Christ, our mistakes can be washed clean, and our mortal body will be restored to its perfect frame. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that he may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and persuadeth to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore we may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. There's a perfect manner of communication through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Following baptism into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there comes a second ordinance, the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. That sweet, quiet voice of inspiration comes more as a feeling than it does as a sound. Pure intelligence can be spoken into the mind. The Holy Ghost can communicate with our spirits through the mind more than through the physical senses. This guidance comes as thoughts, as feelings, through promptings and impression. We may feel the words of spiritual communication more than hear them, and see with spiritual eyes rather than with mortal eyes. I served in the Quorum of the Twelve many years with Apostle Elder LeGrand Richard. He died at age 96. He told us that as a boy of 12, he attended a general conference in the tabernacle. There he heard President Wilford Woodruff, and President Woodruff told of an experience of being prompted by the Spirit. He was sent by the First Presidency to gather all of the saints in the East and bring them, and Canada as well, and bring them to Zion. He stopped at the home of one of his brethren in Indiana, put his carriage in the yard, and there his wife and one of his child went to bed. The rest of the family slept in the house. Shortly after he retired for the night, the Spirit whispered, warning him, "Get up and move your carriage." He got up and moved the carriage a distance from where it had stood. As he returning to the bed, the Spirit spoke to him again and said, "Go move your mules away from that oak tree." He did this, and then retired once again to bed. Not more than 30 minutes later, a whirlwind caught the tree in which his mules had been tied and broke it off at the ground. It was carried 100 yards through two fences, the enormous trunk of which was 5 feet in diameter, fell exactly upon the spot where his carriage had been parked. By listening to the promptings of the Spirit, Elder Woodruff had saved his life, the life of his wife and child. The same Spirit can prompt you and protect you. When I was first called as a general authority nearly 50 years ago, we lived on a very small plot of ground in Utah Valley that we called our farm. We had a cow and a horse and chickens and lots of children. One Saturday, I was to drive to the airport for a flight to the state conference in California. But the cow was expecting a calf and was in trouble. The calf was born, but the cow could not get up. We called the veterinarian, who soon came. He said the cow had swallowed a wire and would not live through the day. I copied the telephone number of the Animal Byproducts Company so my wife could call them to come as soon as the cow had died. Before I left, we had our family prayer. Our little boy said our prayer after he asked Heavenly Father to bless Daddy in his travels and bless us all. He then started to plead earnestly. He said, "Heavenly Father, please bless Bossy Cow so that she will get to be all right." In California, I told the incident and said, "He must learn that we do not get everything we pray just that easily." There was a lesson to be learned, but I was the one that learned it, not my son. When I returned Sunday night, Bossy had got to be all right. This process is not reserved for the prophets alone. The gift of the Holy Ghost operates equally with men, women, and even little children. It is within his wondrous gift and power that the spiritual remedy to any problem can be found. And now he imparted his word by angels unto men. Yea, not only to men, but to women also. Now this is not all. Little children do have words given unto them that many times confound the wise of the learned. The Lord has many ways of pouring knowledge into our minds to prompt us, to guide us, to teach us, to correct us, and to warn us. The Lord said, "I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon you and which shall dwell in your heart." And Enos recorded, "While I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again." You can know the things you need to know. Pray that you will learn to receive that inspiration and remain worthy to receive it. Keep that channel of your mind clean and free from the clutter of the world. Elder Graham W. Doxey, who once served in the Quorum of the Seven, told me of an experience. His mother, who was later a counselor in the General Presidency of the Relief Society, also told me of this experience. During World War II, he was in the Navy and posted to China. He and several others went by train to the city of Tientsin to look around. Later, they boarded a train to return to their base. But after more than an hour, the train turned north. They were on the wrong train. They spoke no Chinese. They pulled the emergency cord and stopped the train. And they were put off somewhere in the countryside with nothing to do but walk back to the city. After walking for some time, they found a small pump-handled car, the kind that the railroad workers use. They set it on the rails and began to pump their way along the tracks. It would coast downhill, but it had to be pushed uphill. As they came to one steep downhill slope, they scrambled aboard the car and it began to coast. Graham was the last to get aboard. The only place left for him is in the front of the car. He ran alongside and finally climbed aboard, but as he did so, he slipped and fell. He was bouncing on his back with his feet against the car to keep from being run over. As the car quickly gained speed, he heard his mother's voice say, "Bud, you be careful." He wore heavy military boots. His foot slipped, and the thick sole of his boot caught in a gear on the wheel and stopped the car just 1 foot from his hand. His parents, who were presiding over the East Central State Mission at the time, were sleeping in a hotel room. His mother sat up about 2 o'clock in the morning and awakened her husband. "Bud's in trouble." They knelt by the bed and prayed for the safety of their boy. The next letter he received said, "Bud, what's wrong? What's happened to you?" He then wrote to tell them what had happened. When they compared to times, at the very time he was bouncing along the tracks, his parents were kneeling in the hotel room, half a world away, praying for his safety. These experiences of prompting and prayer are not uncommon in the church. They're part of the revelation our Heavenly Father has provided for us. One of the adversary's sharpest tools is to convince us that we are no longer worthy to pray. No matter who you are or what you may have done, you can always pray. And the prophet Joseph Smith promised that all beings who have bodies have power over those who do not. When temptation comes, you can invent a delete key in your mind. Perhaps a word from a favorite hymn. Your mind is in charge, and your body is the instrument of your mind. When some unworthy thought pushes into your mind, replace it with a delete key. Worthy music is powerful and can help you control your thoughts. When Oliver Cowdery failed in an attempt to translate, the Lord told him, "Behold, you've not understood. You have supposed that I would give it unto you when you took no thought, save it was to ask me. But behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your mind. Then you must ask if it be right. And if it be right, I will cause your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore you shall feel that it is right. But if it is not right, you shall have no such feeling." That principle is illustrated by the story of a little girl. She was upset with her brother who built a trap to catch sparrows. Unable to get any help, she said to herself, "Well, I'll pray about it." After her prayer, the little girl told her mother, I know he's not going to catch any sparrows in this trap because I prayed about it. I'm positive he won't catch any sparrows." Her mother said, "How can you be so sure?" She said, "After I prayed, I went out and kicked that old trap all to pieces." Pray, even if you are young and wayward like the prophet Alma, or have a closed mind like Amulet, who knew and yet he would not know. Learn to pray. Pray often. Pray in your mind, in your heart. Pray on your knees. Pray. Prayer is your personal key to heaven, and the lock is on your side of the veil. And I have learned to conclude all my prayers with, "Thy will be done." Do not expect to be free entirely from trouble and disappointment and pain and discouragement, for these are the things that we're sent here to learn on earth. Someone wrote, "With thoughtless and impatient hands, we tangle up the plans the Lord has wrought. And when we cry in pain, he saith, 'Be quiet, man, while I untie the knot.'" The scriptures promise, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it." The Savior said, "Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and you shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." We began this session of conference with the sustaining of the authorities. The first one sustained was Thomas S. Monson as president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I know President Monson, I think, as well as any man on earth knows him. And I want to bear special witness that he was called of God by prophecy, and that he needs our prayers, and his wife Frances and their family, in the tremendous load that's upon him. And I pray that you be sustained in body and in mind and in spirit, and that it will be obvious to the church, as it's obvious to those who are very close to him, that he was called of God by prophecy, and then by the laying on of hands by those who are in authority to preach the gospel and administer the ordinance thereof, he was installed in his office. May the Lord bless us to sustain him and bless him and his family in every way that would be needful to carry on the great work that is upon his shoulder. I bear that witness and invoke that blessing as a servant of the Lord, and in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.